السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما. Lesson number 44, we'll begin from Ayah 52. فلما أحس عيسى منهم الكفر. But when Isa alayhi salam felt persistence in disbelief from them, from who? From the Bani Israel. What did he say? قَالَ مَنْ أَنصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, who are my supporters for the cause of Allah? قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ. The disciple said, نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ. We are the supporters for Allah. آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. We have believed in Allah and testify that we are Muslims, submitting to him. We learned in the previous ayat that Isa alayhi salam was sent to the Bani Israel to remind them of their mission, so that they would reform themselves and return to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Isa alayhi salam was sent with various miracles, and he showed all of those miracles to the Bani Israel. But what happened? Some of them believed, but most of them, they did not believe in him. So over here it is said that فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى. When Isa alayhi salam sensed, from who? From the Bani Israel, al-kufr, disbelief. أَحَسَّ is from the root letters ha, seen, seen, from the word his. And the word his is used for senses. Which senses? Like, for example, the ability to see, hear, smell, touch, feel. These are senses. And أَحَسَّ is to perceive something through one's senses. It is to perceive something, to realize something, to feel something through one's senses. For example, you hear a sound. So you have perceived that sound through your sense of hearing. Similarly, there is an action that is going on in front of you. So you perceive that action, how? By seeing it through your eyes, through the ability to see, through your sense of seeing. So the word ahassa is to sense, to feel something, to perceive something through one's senses. Primarily this is the meaning. And then this word is also used for knowing something for sure. To know something for sure and to have no doubt about it. Because if you see something with your own eyes, do you have any doubt left? No. If you hear something with your own ears, do you have any doubt left? No. If you smell something yourself, you don't have any doubt left. So the word ihsas is used for being sure and being certain about something upon witnessing it oneself. That the signs are clear, they're very obvious. Anybody who would see it, anybody who would hear it, would be sure about it. He would have no doubt left. So Isa alayhi salam sensed from the Bani Israel al-kufr, disbelief. What does it mean by that? That he clearly felt that these people were not going to believe in him. They were not going to confirm him. How did he sense that? How did he feel that? By their statements, by their behavior, by their response, by their actions, by their opposition. Obviously, if somebody is saying negative things to you, what are you going to think? What are you going to think? That they have some problem. Similarly, if somebody does something that is completely unacceptable, what are you going to feel? What are you going to feel? That this person has a problem with me. So Isa alayhi salam did not doubt their kufr. He did not assume their kufr. Rather, he was certain and sure about it. Why? Because of the behavior of the Bani Israel. Because of the statements of the Bani Israel. Because of their actions. So when Isa alayhi salam sensed kufr from them. And you see, this is very important. This is very interesting. That the Bani Israel displayed kufr as well. They said statements of kufr. They displayed kufr. That anybody who would see them behaving in that way, saying such statements, would be confident, would be sure about their disbelief. This is how they treated their messenger. Isa alayhi salam is presenting to them clear miracles. And what are they doing? Displaying kufr. And what should the believer's response be to the messenger? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. our behavior towards the messenger should be of ittiba', of following the messenger, of ita'a. But the Bani Israel, instead of believing, instead of following, instead of obeying, they displayed kufr. So when Isa alayhi salam sensed kufr from them, now the question is, what was their kufr? Their kufr included their, you know, openly denying Isa alayhi salam. They're calling him a liar. They're calling him a magician. He displayed miracles to them and they said, "You're a magician." Similarly, they accused him of apostasy, of having left the religion. So when these accusations were hurled at Isa alayhi salam, it was quite obvious that these people were not believing in him. What did Isa alayhi salam do? قَالَ مَنْ أَنصَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ He said to the people openly, "Who is going to be my helper to Allah?" Ansari is Ansar, and ya meaning my. And Ansar is the plural of Nasir. Who is Nasir? One who helps, one who supports the other, one who aids the other. So who is going to be my aid, my helper, my supporter, ilallah, to Allah? What does it mean by ilallah? Meaning my helper, so that I can convey the message of Allah. Ila and ubayyina, so that I can convey, I can clarify the message of Allah. So ansari ilallah, meaning who will be my helper in the cause of Allah, for the cause of Allah. Now we see that Isa alayhi salam, he was from the Bani Israel. He was from the Bani Israel. His mother was also from the Bani Israel. Zakariya alayhi salam was also from the Bani Israel. And when Isa alayhi salam came to the people, he invited them to reform themselves. He did not bring a new religion, remember that. Isa alayhi salam did not bring a new religion, a new way of life. Rather, as we have read in the previous verses, he was musaddiq, one who confirms. So he confirmed the Torah. He reminded the people of the teachings of the Torah, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him al-kitab, which means writing. And what did we learn? That he also wrote the Torah for the Bani Israel. Again. So Isa alayhi salam did not bring a new religion, rather he only revived the religion. And all of the messengers who were sent to the Bani Israel after Musa alayhi salam did the same thing. They all revived the religion of Musa. They all revived the teachings of the Torah. And these messengers, especially Isa alayhi salam, was given miracles. Why? So that the Bani Israel would be confident about him. They would not be doubtful about his messengership. However, the Bani Israel, what did they do? They denied him. They disbelieved in him. So it was clear that the Bani Israel did not remain believers anymore. Because denying, disbelieving in one messenger is like denying in all of them. Is like disbelieving all of them. So up until now, they were believers. The Bani Israel were believers. But when they denied Isa alayhi salam in this way, it was quite obvious that they did not remain believers anymore, because they were disbelieving in the Messenger of Allah. They were disbelieving in the ayat of Allah, the miracles that Isa alayhi salam was presenting. So then Isa alayhi salam made the call that who is going to be on my side? Who is going to be my helper? So that the group of the believers, so that the group of the Ahlul Iman is distinct from the group of the Ahlul Kufr, of the disbelievers. So when Isa alayhi salam made this call, what was the reason? Why did he make this call? That who will be my helper? To make a clear distinction between those who believe and those who do not believe. Those who support Isa alayhi salam, believe in him, follow him, are those who are believers. And those who do not, they are clearly Ahlul Kufr now. So he said to the people, "Man ansari ilallah?" Who will be my ansar? Who will be my supporters? And why did he use the word ansar? Why did he need supporters? Because first of all, he needed supporters to help him and to protect him. Because the Bani Israel had turned against him and they were attempting to kill him. The persecution had begun. Just like the Prophet ﷺ in Makkah, what happened? Initially, what did the people do? They said, "We're not going to believe in you." And then their disbelief led them to persecuting the Prophet ﷺ, to the extent that they made a plan to assassinate him, to kill him altogether. So then the Prophet ﷺ also went asking people that who is going to be my helper, meaning who is going to protect me, who is going to help me. So similarly, Isa alayhi salam's life was a threat, so who is going to be my helper, meaning who is going to protect me. Also it can be understood as that who will be my helper for what? To help me convey the message of Allah. To help me convey the message of Allah. Because one person, how much can he do on his own? How much? He can do a little bit. He can try his best. He can work 24 hours. But really, how much can he do? But if a person is joined by another, if the group increases, then obviously teamwork increases productivity. It increases results. So Isa alayhi salam asked for helpers. Why? For his protection, and also so that they would help him convey the message of Allah. So that they would help him convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you notice over here, he said, who will be my helper for Allah, to the cause of Allah. He did not say, he did not call people to worship him, but rather he called them to help him in the deen of Allah. What happened then? قال الحواريون, the disciples said. What did they say? نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ, we are the helpers of Allah. Meaning only we are the helpers of Allah. آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ, we have believed in Allah. وَشْهَدْ, and you bear witness. بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that indeed we are Muslims. So the حواريون, they responded to the call of Isa alayhi salam. And they said, we are your helpers. We are the helpers of Allah, the helpers of the deen of Allah. We have believed in Allah, and you should bear witness that we are Muslims. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, who are Hawariyun? Hawariyun is a plural of Hawari. And who is a Hawari? A helper, a disciple. Someone who believes you and follows you and is very sincere to you. And the word Hawari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used it. He said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوَارِي. Indeed, for every messenger, for every prophet, there is a حَوَارِي. Every prophet has some disciple, supporters. وَحَوَارِيِّ زُبَيْر. And my حَوَارِي is Zubair. When did he say this? At the Battle of Khandaq. Inshallah, I'll mention the incident to you. So حَوَارِي is used for a disciple, a supporter, a sincere friend, someone who is very sincere to you. And the word is derived from hawar. Hawara, hawar. And hawar is used for pure whiteness. When something is very white, pure white. And in particular, this word is used for the whiteness of the eyes. It is used for the whiteness of the eyes. An Arab poet once said, إِنَّ الْعُيُونَ الَّتِي فِي طَرَفِهَا حَوَرٌ. The eyes on the sides of which is hawar, meaning extreme brightness, extreme whiteness, very white. And you may have heard of the word hur. Who are hur? The women of Jannah. Why? Because they will also be very fair, and in particular with beautiful eyes. And remember that this word is not just used for something that is very white, but it looks more bright. Why? Because of the contrast. So for instance, eyes, when does the white of the eyes look extremely white, extremely bright? When the pupil is also very dark. The whiteness of something becomes brighter when it is in contrast with something that is very dark. For instance, you could have a white hijab. But when you put it against a black hijab, then what happens? The white becomes more white. It looks brighter. So this is what the word hawar is used for. And the hawariyin, there were 12 men. Some say that there were 12 men. And why were they called Hawariyun? Why were they called Hawari? Because of several reasons. First of all, it has been said that they were called Hawariyun because they were of pure white complexion. They were white people. Secondly, it is said that they were Hawariyun. Why? Because they used to wear white clothes. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that they would wear white clothes. أَنَّهُمُ الْبَيْضُ ثِيَابُ. Their thiyab were bayd, white. Because of the brightness of their clothes, that is why they were called حواريون. So for instance, all of you wear white hijab. Thirdly, they said that they were called حواريون. Why? Because they were bleachers of clothes, meaning they were launderers and they would wash clothes. That was their profession. And it is said that Isa alayhi salam, once he said to them that, "Why do you wash clothes? I'll teach you how to wash people's hearts." Everybody can wash clothes. Everybody can do these physical things. But how many people dedicate their time to cleanse the hearts, to, you know, do the tazkiyah of other people, to help other people reform themselves? So why are you doing this? Let me tell you about something that is much better, that is more beneficial. Everybody is busy in dunya, but I'll teach you how to do da'wah so that people can reform their akhirah, can reform their deen. Another opinion has been given that Hawariyun were given this name. Why? Because their hearts were very clean. They were very sincere. They were very honest. And they were also very pious. You see, when a person commits a sin, what do we learn from the hadith? That a black mark appears on the heart. And if a person continues in that sin, then the blackness spreads until the entire heart is covered in blackness. The opposite of that is white. So a white heart, a clean heart, is that which is free from ma'asi, that which is free from committing sin. So they were called Hawariyun. Why? Because of their piety, because of their sincerity, because of their righteousness, because of their honesty, and also because they were sincere companions of Isa alayhi salam. They had believed in him, they used to listen to him, they studied from him, they learned from him, and they were very honest. They were very sincere and loyal to Isa alayhi salam. They had no aib, no faults in them. So this is why they were given the name of Hawari. Why? Not because of some physical reason, but because of the sincerity and the purity of their hearts. Because of the purity of their iman, of their actions. Some have also said that they were called Hawariyun because of their piety, because of their righteousness, and because they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot, their faces would glow. Their faces would glow. Not literally, but you know, there is a particular nur on the face of the person who is pious, who is righteous. Similarly, these people also, because of their piety, because of their righteousness, they had a glow on their face. They had some nur on their face. So this is why they were called Hawariyun. So, قال الحواريون, they said, نحن أنصار الله. We are the helpers of Allah. آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. If you look at the response of the Hawariyun, they didn't say, "We are your supporters." Isa alayhi salam said, "Man ansari ila Allah," who will be my helper for the cause of Allah. And what did they say? "Nahnu ansarullah." We are supporters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reality is that when we support someone who is working for the deen, who is serving the deen, we're not actually helping them. Who are we helping? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the deen of Allah. When we're helping somebody who is working for the deen of Allah, we're not actually helping that person. We're actually helping the deen of Allah, the cause of Allah. So never get lost in the person whom you're helping. Never stop there. Look beyond that person. Look at the goal. Look at the vision. And that is going to help us keep our intention pure. Because if we are helping people, it's possible that we have some disagreement with the person. We don't like that person anymore. There is a disagreement, there's an argument. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop your work? That's what many people do. That's what many people do. They fall into one disagreement and they stop their service for the deen of Allah. But the reality is that if a person is sincerely working for the cause of Allah, then he will not look at the person. He will not look at the organization. What will he look at? The deen of Allah. That is going to be his focus. Because the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not need our help. He can support the deen himself. But he is giving us an opportunity to serve the deen. He is giving us an opportunity to serve the deen. And also, when they say, نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ, we are the helpers of Allah, what is meant by we are the helpers of Allah is that we are the helpers of the deen of Allah, of the cause of Allah. Now why does Allah say Ansarullah? Does Allah need our help? No, He doesn't need our help. But when He gives us the opportunity, it's an honor for us. It's an honor for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling someone his supporter, even though Allah does not need help, what is that? It's an honor for the person who is supporting the deen. That you're not just helping, you know, another person who is working for the deen. You're not just helping the deen, but you're helping Allah. Why does Allah say like that? To honor the person who is serving the deen. And what did they say? That we have believed in Allah and testify that we are Muslims submitting to Him. So we see that the real believers, they did not call themselves that we are, you know, Jewish or we are Christian, or they did not say that we are Masihi. They did not give them a name that was attributed to the Prophet. Okay? But rather they said that we are Muslims. We are Muslims. Because the religion of Islam is about what? About submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time of Adam alayhi salam till today. And these names that have come up, they're only innovations. People have attributed themselves to particular human beings, to righteous people. That is something that is incorrect. What is to be done is that we should call ourselves Muslims, ones who submit to Allah. So we see over here that Isa alayhi salam, he made an open invitation, open call, that who is going to help me for the cause of Allah. In Surah As-Saff, ayah number 14, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers. He addresses the Muslims. And he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, kunu ansar Allah, be the supporters of Allah. Kama qala Isa ibn Maryam, as when Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi salam, said, to who? Lil hawariyina, to the disciples. What did he say to them? Man ansari ila Allah, who are my supporters for Allah? قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله. The disciples said, we are the supporters of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents this example to us as well. That look, they responded to the call of Isa alayhi salam, and they became the Ansarullah. You should also be the Ansarullah. In the same way, kama, in the same way. So your Prophet is calling you. The Quran is there. Learn it, spread it. Be of the Ansarullah. And we see that the Ansarullah of Isa alayhi salam, his Hawariyun, there were only about 12 in number. Only a few. What do we think? That only when the numbers are very big, then we can help the deen of Allah. Then we can do something. But the fact is, what is needed is sincerity. What is needed is the right iman, the right niyyah. And when a person has that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in his efforts. Just as we read earlier at the beginning of the surah as well, that there is a lesson for you in the two armies that met at Badr. The Muslim army, that was very few in number, and the Mushrik army, huge. But who won? Who won? The Muslims. Why? Because of the difference in the niyyah, because of their determination. So the numbers don't matter. The numbers don't matter. What matters is the sincerity, the loyalty. It's the cleanliness, it's the purity of the hearts that is required. To be of the Hawariyun, have Hawar of the hearts, purity and whiteness of the hearts. And at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Mushrikeen of Makkah, they also persecuted the Prophet ﷺ a lot. They persecuted the Muslims. And we know that towards the end of the Meccan period, the Prophet ﷺ went to At-Ta'if. Why? To seek help from there. And all of you know about the response that the people of Ta'if gave. They said, no, they refused any help. So the Prophet ﷺ came back to Mecca. And during the Hajj season, he went around asking people, that man rajulun yu'wini hatta ubaligha kalama rabbi, fa'inna Qurayshan qad man'uni an ubaligha kalama rabbi. Who will give me protection so that I can convey the speech of my Lord? Who will protect me so that I can convey the message of my Lord? For the Quraysh have prevented me from conveying the speech of my Lord. And he went on asking people that who is going to be my Ansar? Who is going to be my helper? Because up until now, the believers were there, the Muslims were there, and the Mushrikeen were also there. But they were all together. But when the situation became very intense, the two had to be separated. Now there was going to be a party of Allah and a party of Shaitan. A group of the Ahlul Iman and a group of Ahlul Kufr. So the Prophet ﷺ also went asking the people that who is going to be my Ansar until he found the Ansar of Medina. And the Ansar of Medina, they are the ones who gave him protection, who gave him refuge. The Prophet ﷺ later migrated to Medina, and over there the Islamic State was also established. He was protected from the enemies, and any battle, any war that occurred, the Ansar are the ones who participated in that as well. So we see that the Ansar, they helped the Deen of Allah. And remember, when it comes to helping the Deen of Allah, it seems like a very beautiful thing. We are the supporters of the Deen of Allah, we are the helpers of Allah, and we all wish to do that. But remember, it is full of challenges, it is full of difficulties, which is why the reward is so huge, the reward is so immense, the reward is so great. Because the opposition that the messenger is facing, you are going to face that. The difficulty that the messenger is facing, now you are going to face that. And the Ansar, they faced all of those difficulties. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, and along with him so many Muslims migrated, the Ansar accommodated all of them. Just imagine, so many immigrants come to your city. People get very upset when the immigration increases, and they say that it's affecting our society, so put a stop to this. But look at them, they accommodated all of them. And all of these immigrants, what did they have with them? Whatever they had to leave behind. So they suffered not only financially, but also politically. Because now what happened? Different tribes, they began attacking Medina. They began coming after the Prophet ﷺ. So the Ansar were the ones who kept with the Prophet ﷺ throughout this time, throughout the hardships that the Prophet ﷺ faced. We learn that at the conquest of Mecca, after one of the battles, the Prophet ﷺ was giving a large portion of the war booty to the Quraysh. A large portion of the war booty was being given to who? The Quraysh. And the Ansar did not receive anything. Imagine, the Ansar are the ones who helped the Prophet ﷺ for so long. And now finally when the Prophet ﷺ is victorious, they don't get a share of the booty. So they did not get anything. So one of the Ansar said, how can the Quraysh get everything when the blood is still trickling from our swords? Meaning we are the ones who participated in battle. We are the ones who have worked so hard. But who gets the benefit? These people who are just converting now? Because of these people we have suffered so much. And now at the end they are the ones who get everything? So the Prophet ﷺ was informed about this. He assembled them and he said, O Ansar, you have shown displeasure because I gave some goods to such and such people so that they may embrace Islam. You, however, I entrusted with Islam. O Ansar, are you not satisfied that these men should take away sheep and goats while you go back with the Prophet of Allah? I swear by the one who holds the life of Muhammad in his hand, if there had been no migration, I would have been one of the Ansar myself. If everyone took one path and the Ansar took another, I would follow the Ansar. And then he prayed for the Ansar that, O Allah, have mercy on the Ansar, their sons and their sons' sons. So he prayed not just for the Ansar, but also for their later generations. Why? Because of the sacrifice that the Ansar did. Because of the support that they gave to the Deen of Allah. Look at the words of the Prophet, that if the people would go one way and the Ansar would go another way, I would go with the Ansar. If there was no migration, if there was no hijrah, I would have been among the Ansar anyway. Why? Because of their help, because of their support that they gave to the Deen of Allah. Look at the reward. And at the Battle of Khandaq, at the Battle of Trench, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ, on the day of the Ahzab, he said, who will bring us the news of the people? Which people? The enemy that was beyond the trench. So Az-Zubayr, he said, I. The Prophet ﷺ again said, who will bring us the news of the people? And Az-Zubayr said, I. The Prophet ﷺ again said, who will bring us the news of the people? And Az-Zubayr said, I. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ said that, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ حَوَارِيًّا وَحَوَارِيِّ زُبَيْرٍ. For every prophet is a supporter, and my supporter, my Hawari, is Zubayr. Why? Because going to the enemy was putting your life at risk. And the Ansarullah, the Ansar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't just cooperate financially or in the deen or politically or, you know, in other ways, but they even went to the extent of offering their lives if that was needed. And we learned that at the Battle of Uhud, the way that the companions fought, the way that they defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even some of the women, Umara, she even went to the battle defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam afterwards, he said that everywhere I looked, I would find Umara. Everywhere he looked, he would find her there. Why? Because she was helping the deen of Allah. She was supporting the deen of Allah. And the reward for that is immense. رَبَّنَا O our Lord, آمَنَّا We have believed. The Hawariyun said that, O our Lord, we have believed. In what? بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ In that which you have revealed. Whatever that you have revealed, whether it is the Injil, or it is the Torah, or it is something that you will reveal afterwards, we believe in it. Because a true believer believes in all of the messengers, and he also believes in all of the scriptures. And notice over here, they say, بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ They didn't say Torah or Injil in particular. Why? Because we believe in what you have revealed, not what the people have altered, not what the people have edited. وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ And we have also followed the messenger. اتَّبَعْنَا from اتِّبَعْ What does that mean? To follow the messenger closely, properly, in every way, in عَقِيدَةً, in فَعْل, in قَوْل, and also in تَرْك. Remember, in all of those four ways. So, وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ And we have followed the messenger. فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ So, write us amongst those who bear witness. اُكْتُبْنَا from كَافْ تَابْدَى Meaning, write our name as well. Put us in that list as well. In the list of who? In the list of الشَّاهِدِينَ Shahideen is a plural of shahid. And who is shahid? One who bears witness to something. So, who are the shahideen? Shahideen has been understood as those people who testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who give shahada. What is shahada? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Right? So those people who bear witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who testify to monotheism, and also they believe in the truthfulness of the messengers. Those who believe in the oneness of Allah and in the truthfulness of the messengers. Some have said that the Shahideen refers to those people who were believers before the Hawariyun. So just as the people before us, they believed in the oneness of Allah and they testify to the truthfulness of the messenger. Similarly, we also believe in the Tawheed of Allah and we also believe in the truthfulness of Isa alayhi salam. So make us of that group. Others have said that Shahideen refers to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslim Ummah. The Muslim Ummah. Why? Because we know about the Muslim Ummah that لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ That on the Day of Judgment, the Muslim Ummah will be shuhada upon all the people. What's the shahada going to be? That their messengers conveyed the message to them. The messengers of all of these nations conveyed the message to the people. So فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ Write us amongst those people, amongst that group. Put us in that list as well. Those people who believed, whether they were before us or after us. Make us of the same group. Put us in the same list. We learn from this that Isa alayhi salam, one of the reasons as to why he was sent to the Bani Israel was to give them the good news of the last messenger, of the final messenger. So before the last messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was sent, the second last messenger, what did he do? He came to remind the people of what they were supposed to do, and also to inform them that now they had only one chance left. Now they had only one chance left. The last messenger was going to come soon. And he told the people so clearly about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that look at the dua of the Hawariyun. that right is amongst those people. This shows how well they knew the Muslim Ummah. This shows how well they knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it shows that Isa alayhi salam conveyed very clearly. So they said, "Our Lord, we have believed in what you have revealed, and we have followed the messenger as well." Because after bringing Iman, it is very important, it is necessary to follow the messenger. You see in this ayah, Iman is mentioned, and then Ittiba'ur Rasul is mentioned, because both of them are important. A person cannot say that, "Oh, I believe in the Quran and that's enough." No, belief is not enough. Along with that, a person must also follow the messenger. Because remember the definition of Iman. What is Iman? To accept the truth and also to submit to it. To accept it, to affirm it, and also to submit to it. We know about the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Talib. He used to say that, "I know that the deen of Muhammad ﷺ is the best deen." He used to say that, "I know that the deen that my nephew..." Abu Talib used to say that, "لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ, I know for sure that the deen that my nephew is preaching is the best deen." But did he believe? Did he accept it? No. So just knowing is not enough. Just saying is not enough. Accepting is also important. And how will you accept? By following the messenger. So we have believed, yes, but we have also followed the messenger. Because both of them are important. So فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ, write us, write our names amongst the shahideen. Meaning فَاكْتُبْنَا, amongst those who did what we have done. We have believed, those people believed, whether they came before us or they will come after us. But include us in the same group, in the same group of believers. Include us in the same group of believers. We see that there is so much time difference between the Hawariyun and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or between the Hawariyun and the other believers that they were referring to, those people who came before them. But look at the love that make us of the same group. As we know from the hadith that al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, a person will be with those whom he loves. Although there is a difference of hundreds of years, about 600 years after Isa alayhi salam came Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much of a difference. So many hundreds of years. But look at the love. And we see over here the importance of righteous company as well. The love of righteous people. The love of righteous people, which leads to their company as well. Because there are three things which are very important in order to remain steadfast upon Iman. And what are those? Those are mentioned in this ayah. That first of all, Iman. Secondly, Ittiba'ur Rasul. And thirdly, Suhbatul Khair. The companionship of the righteous people. So all of these three are mentioned in this ayah. Let's listen to the recitation.
فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَاشْهَدْ بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
What was the help that the Hawariyun gave to Isa alayhi salam? What help did they give him? What help did they give him? Protection, first of all. Helping convey the message. Which is why, after Isa alayhi salam was lifted up to the heavens, they did not remain in Palestine or in Jerusalem or where they were in Nazareth, but rather they spread. And they went to different places, spreading the message of Isa alayhi salam. They didn't stay there. Which is why we see that today even, Christianity is the number one religion of the world. Meaning, most followers are of which religion? Of Christianity. So this spirit of being the helpers of the deen of Allah is still present in them today. Yes, they alter their religion. That's true. But that spirit of helping the religion of Allah, helping the message of Allah, it still is present in them today. So this shows how Isa alayhi salam made them realize that it's important to spread the message of Allah. It is important to be the helpers of the deen of Allah. And we see that even today, the Christian missionaries, they give up everything of theirs. Just recently somebody was telling me about their doctor who had a family practice, and he joined a missionary. And when he became a missionary, and they would go to see the doctor, and the doctor would be in his office reading the Bible, and the patients are waiting outside. And then eventually he left his practice and he joined the missionaries. So we see that they sacrifice their careers, they sacrifice their money, their, you know, fame, so much. Why? For what purpose? For dawah. Because what they believe to be the truth, they call people to it. And what do we think? Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will tell them about the truth. I'm busy, I'm comfortable in my house, somebody else will do the work of the deen. But the fact is that, who is that somebody else? Who is that somebody else? It has to be one of us. Somebody has to do it. So being the Ansarullah is an honor. Why don't you come forth and take that honor? Remember, the deen of Allah does not need our help. Allah can spread the message without us even. Which is why towards the end of the time, when no human being will be there to speak the truth, an animal, a dabbatul ard, an animal will come forth telling people about the truth. Allah doesn't need us. He can tell the truth to people without us. But if we are given the opportunity, it's an honor for us. You see, the Ansar, the Hawariyun, there were only 12 in number, very few. What do we say? I'm alone. How much can I do? I'm only one person. We're only 2-3 people. We can't do much. But we have seen, even in worldly things, people who take the initiative, who start doing something alone, what happens? Eventually people join them. And eventually there is barakah in their work. To the extent that even when they have passed away, people are still following them. People are still doing what they started. This is why the Sabiqoon have so much reward. Remember I mentioned to you that he will be among the Muqarrabeen, and one of the ways of becoming Muqarrab to Allah is how? By being Sabiqoon. By being the first ones to do something. So we see that being an Ansarullah means being the helper of the deen of Allah, not the person whom you're supporting or helping, not the institute or an organization or a masjid or something that you're supporting. Which is why the Ansar of the Prophet ﷺ, even when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, they continued in their mission. They continued in supporting deen of Allah. Which is why they said to Uthman radhiyallahu anhu that we will be the Ansar again, if you wish. So it's not about the person whom we're helping, it's about the deen of Allah. And the deen of Allah is forever. We can never say that, okay, this project is now over, my job is finished, my duty is over, that's it, I'm going home now. No. This mission is a lifelong mission. You see, the word Hawari is used for a disciple. And who is a disciple? A student. So after learning, it doesn't mean that that chapter of your life is now over, now you can move on to, you know, something else and forget about the deen. No. They were disciples, they were students, they learned, and they became the workers as well. They became the Ansarullah. And they are the ones who spread the message as well. So after studying the Quran, don't just think that that's it. Your duty to your deen is over. No. It has just begun. It has just begun. So if we have been given the opportunity to help the deen of Allah, it's an honor. And if we don't avail this opportunity, then Allah doesn't need us. يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمٌ غَيْرَكُمْ He can replace us with another people. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ And they will not be like you. They will be better than you. And we should be haris, we should be greedy that how can I put my share in helping the deen of Allah. The wife of Imran, all she had was a baby, a very precious child, and she said, I will dedicate this child for the deen of Allah. And that is how the family of Imran was selected, by the sacrifice of a woman. And we learned that the scholars of the Haykal also, what did they do when Maryam alayhi salam was brought? That they began arguing that, no, I want to do it. I want to do it. So serving the deen of Allah is an honor. And if we really realized its importance, we would fight for it. We wouldn't say somebody else would do it. Somebody else can do it. We would fight for it, that no, I want to do it. If we really look at the reward, if we really focus on the reward, then we will be very greedy for it. But the problem is that we get lost in this dunya and its comforts. If Allah has chosen us, that He is giving us the knowledge of His deen, of His kalam, of His book, then it is our responsibility to do shukr, to express some gratitude. And how will that be done? By being the Ansarullah. Zakariya alayhi salam, when he was given the big blessing, he was told, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا. Remember your Lord much, a lot. Why? Out of shukr.